Mike, what did you just tell me about Spencer Strider? What's going on?
Apparently, he's going to wait to talk to the media about his throwing session, according to Mark Bowman from MLB.com.
Well, they don't want to push it?
I guess. Strider asked to wait until tomorrow to talk about today's side session. The Braves say they want to make sure he feels good tomorrow before talking about it.
Hmm.
So, again, as we said, I know we live in this sort of like, I want to know now. Actually, I want to know yesterday. When is Strider returning? When is Ronald Acuna coming back?
That's right.
And I can't give an answer to either one of those. And well, I guess they want Strider to. Now, again, if he feels tight, I guess he don't want that news getting out. I don't know.
Okay. And I mean, he might say that because Strider just doesn't care. I mean, he talks the way, you know, about situations. And sometimes he overanalyzes things. We've talked about it. But maybe he's not 100. I don't know.
But either way, I mean, like, I think they're acutely aware of how people, you know, perceive those responses, to your point, because he is rather, you know, outspoken and honestly spoken. So we'll see. But I mean, look, if he says he's tight, then okay, then add another 2 weeks. I mean, who freaking knows? You know, I don't know, man. Like, we lived in a world where guys chew every 4 days, and it was four guys, and it wasn't a big deal. And now we have the five and the six and this and that. And ever since Strasburg, see, these are things. Two things that just rub me the wrong way. The candy ass pitchers out there. Not that Strider is one of those.
Okay.
Because we know he's tough. But I mean, how the hell, I still don't understand how he jacked up his hamstring having a catch in the outfield. You know, I mean, I already ranted about the 3-point shot, but anyway, just hope he's fine and he feels good.
I do too. We'll see what the latest is when he speaks tomorrow. Hey, man, let's talk some NFL and get to 4th and 1. It's brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. All right, as we talked about Michael Penix visiting with our buddy Brian McFadden, B-Mac's going to join us on the show tomorrow. I want you to hear him talk about the game-tying touchdown throw to Pitts. We've discussed this. We've talked about those moments of that's impressive, small window. He has to put the ball in one spot, and he was able to do that. But listen to Michael Penix talk about this moment.
I'm reading my bender, so I know I have two high safeties, so I'm reading my bender, so just got to hold the mic, you know, keep him away from where I want to throw. So I'm looking this way, knowing I'm finna throw it to him, because the window on that side look better than the window.
So pre-snap alignment, because of the two high safeties, look, you already knew where you were trying to go with the football.
Yeah.
You just needed to move that middle linebacker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So once I got the ball in my hand, just, you know, playing the game with my eyes, you know, just make sure, tying my feet and my eyes together, you know, and then
the rhythm.
Just throwing it.
And that thing for me, because that's 4th down.
Yeah.
You don't make that play game over.
Exactly.
For me, when I saw you manipulate the backer, already knowing I'm coming back side, Kyle, when he hit that outside foot ball there.
Yeah.
That right there was like, okay, he cooking with gas.
See, we've talked about that play specifically a number of times on the show, and there he is breaking it down.
There are guys who've been in the league 8 years, don't do that. He did in his second game. His third game was the Carolina Panthers. He manipulated the Mike linebacker to move him where he wanted him to so he could deliver that throw. That's big time. That's the kind of stuff, again, that either you get and, Mike, you're able to execute, or it takes you a while to do, and sometimes these quarterbacks don't do it. I love the fact that he's talking about that, and he said in his head, I'm going to Pitts, in his mind, the entire time. How I'm going to get there, I got to move this guy. And so that is a big-time throw, man, and that's why I'm very confident, Mike, that as he continues to grow – he's going to do more of these special
right.
things.
And that's why, as I said, it's just like you can't cry for spilt milk. Cousins did some amazing things when he was healthy. You just wish this guy had the full season under his belt. We're going to watch him evolve. He made a terrible mistake with the first interception, but as you just heard Brian and him break it down, he makes a veteran-type move, the kind of things that are next level that John Gruden would talk about in his quarterback camp. I love how you freeze that back or you come right back to your boy right there. You throw that dart in there. That's a tight window. I mean, that's what he does. So I love it. And those are the kind of things. Plus the way, and we've talked about it before, how he went back to Drake London in that Carolina game.
Loved it.
Got him that high point touch score. So, yeah, these are the things that give you the confidence from the conversation we had earlier in the week about just wanting him to be the guy. Doesn't mean he's going to be the guy. You hear things like that. You feel like he's going to be the guy.
You do. You really do. Mike, let's hear RG3, man, talk about Shador Sanders. By the way, if you guys didn't hear this, RG3 is working for Fox now. He's going to be in the fall.
Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's going to be a part of the Big Noon show, I think it is, the college show. Either way, he was talking about Shador Sanders. He feels like this situation with the Browns has set Shador up for failure.
Oh.
Listen to this.
Oh,
it's absolutely terrible situation for a quarterback to be in. Let's get real, people here. All right. This is the thing that nobody wants to talk about. Shador Sanders is in a situation where the NFL and the Cleveland Browns have set him up to sink or swim in year one. What I really mean by that is they set him up to fail. Shedeur Sanders is the fourth quarterback on the Cleveland Browns roster.
Yeah, and this is a conversation we had had, you know, about a week ago. Because, you know, I said it was kind of like a Mike Tyson punch-out. Well, you dispatch Dylan Gabriel. Up next will be Kenny Pickett. And then Flacco is only going to be there a year anyway. So, but as RG3 says, you know, anybody else, you're coming in clearly as number two.
Right.
You battle. You're going to split the reps. I have no idea how the division of labor works in that quarterback room in the preseason. You might not even get to see him until, like, scrub time against the third string.
And then is it a real evaluation? Here's RG3 talking about why he's been set up for failure. This part of it I kind of agree with.
Shedeur Sanders is at a position, a quarterback, where only one guy gets to play. If you're a fifth-round receiver, you got a chance to make the team. You just got to go out there and show out. And a lot of times you're going to get opportunities with the ones and the twos because of injuries, hamstrings, ankles, those type of soft tissue issue injuries that pop up. But at quarterback, that typically doesn't happen. So for Shedeur Sanders, you have to understand that this guy is going to be going into the offseason getting the fewest reps of all the quarterbacks on the Cleveland Browns roster. He's going to be going into training camp getting the fewest reps of all the quarterbacks on the Cleveland Browns roster. And then when you go into the preseason, he's going to be getting the fewest reps right. and the fewest plays of all the quarterbacks on the roster.
Now, again, that's not a hype argument. That's a legitimate fact-based argument. You've seen it. We, you know, part of the reason, you know, last year, unless you're the Falcons, in which case only the third-string quarterback plays basically the preseason. but you're right. He makes a great argument.
He does. And again, unless there is an ownership agenda, which we don't know about, maybe Haslam has an agenda that says, I need to see more of him. Because here's the other part of this, and this is where Shedeur may be favored, where RG3 may be overlooking this. Mike, the hype train has started. He's already got one of the highest selling jerseys, right? People are going to want to see him, and they want to see him early. And so because of that, how much pressure? He's not a first overall pick, but maybe there's a little bit more pressure where he was drafted and with the hype surrounding him that people are going to push for that. And maybe internally that is the case. We do not know. But if RG3 is right about this and they play it by the book, he's right. You're not going to see a whole lot of him, and I don't know how you evaluate him, Mike, when he's playing in these garbage times in the preseason, and there's right. not six preseason games like the 70s, so you're only seeing him for a few series, and then you're going to go, yeah, he's good enough? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to, you know, you think like Desmond Ridder. Remember like Desmond? That goes back to, why don't we give our quarterbacks any reps?
More time.
Our last two quarterbacks, think about this. We had one series for Ridder, right? Basically
right.
2 years ago.
That's
I know,
right.
It was a sore subject. And then basically the same last year for Michael Penix. I thought we were going to see Michael Penix Jr. all over the place. But it's almost like, and we have to ask Coach Ra this one, where you're just not wanting to challenge Cousins because Cousins was in his bag that you drafted a quarterback. That goes back to him being under the impression there was no going to be a quarterback over his shoulder. So heaven forbid Penix shows out in three halves of football. So that's why maybe that's the reason the sample size was so small.
No, that's a good point. I don't know if we'll ever know, but it's valid. I mean, like, to think that Cousins was like, no, I'm playing, I'm good, I want to get more reps.
Because all we saw was the third string guy much of the preseason.
It really was. 404-726-0929. You guys can chime in on that. Interesting stuff there. And again, this is one of those things, guys, you know, we're going to be watching. There are always stories that happen around the NFL that take a life of their own. This is already one of them. And that's why right. we're talking about it, because some people feel exactly like RG3 feels. Other people say, they don't care about these other guys they drafted, Mike. Flacco's old. He'll be out of there, and this is going to be the Shedeur Sanders show.
And the thing is, you know, you get all of these conspiracy theorists out there, and I don't know. All right, if you really thought that Shedeur Sanders, all this stuff that started to happen in the week of the draft, it's like, wow, he may fall out of the first round. You and I were like, that sounds kind of incredible.
Yep.
We were incredulous to that. And then you get to, if you're the Cleveland Browns, why did you bother with Dylan Gabriel? All the things that happened, that makes even less sense. Now, look, this is where people get in their bag over it. There are multiple reports saying that at the combine, Shedeur apparently big time people or was disinterested in places apparently had no interest in going. And I don't know if they conspire with other GMs. Like a James Cagney, we'll stick it to the kid. Meh. Well, that's actually how John Mara talks, who owns the Giants. But anyway, it's just either way, why bother with Dylan Gabriel if you go back in the fifth and take him? I mean, you could. I don't understand that logic to make it one step harder, because in essence, then you just wasted a fifth-round pick if you're the Cleveland Browns, whatever you think of a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, and that doesn't make sense either. Either way, it's going to be one of these fun stories that plays out, and how it plays out, I don't know if anybody knows how it ends. I mean, the happy ending is what? Shedeur Sanders is starting, and the Browns are winning, and it's, can you believe this? The other ending is the opposite of that. And, Mike, that means him not being on the team potentially and everybody saying, I told you so, he wasn't that good.
Right. Hey, one last nugget while we're getting ready for the NFL. We know next Wednesday is the schedule release. We do apparently find out Mondays and Tuesdays. There will be leaks of the international games. So stay tuned. There is a 1-in-4 chance that we would be playing in Berlin against the Indianapolis Colts. And I'd be curious to see if we're going to be that team.
Yeah. There are 6 international games?
Yeah, the Chargers in Sao Paulo week 1. The Colts are in Berlin. Dolphins are playing in Madrid. That's one I'm kind of interested in if we have a bye week. Steelers are in London, and the Jaguars, Browns, and Jets also in the UK and London.
Madrid's cool. That'd be a fun spot.